Okay, at this time I'd like to introduce the speaker. I'm not from this area. I know she has a really cool camper, and I'd like to hear a message. So, if we can we have Lisa H. from A Thousand Never Enough Group?
Thanks. I'll try not to slip and fall in the mud because that, I would not be grateful for that this morning. If you guys will pray with me for a second, I would appreciate it. Just kind of ask for the words that God needs me to speak to you today. Thank you. I'm Lisa. I'm an addict. I am from the Thousand Is Never Enough home group in Holsapple, PA, part of the Limhana area. I'm going to walk and talk if that's okay because I'm a nervous speaker. I have terrible happy feet. So if that's okay with you guys, I appreciate it. My clean date is 2/25/12. This weekend I'm celebrating 6.5 years exactly. And that's kind of a humbling thing for me. Humility is not something that I'm very good at. So I have to keep in mind. I like to start speaking by reminding myself and reminding you guys that I am not here through any fault of my own. There's nothing that I have done to deserve to be standing in front of you guys. Everything that I have done, I can attribute to the God of my understanding today. So I was taught that when you speak, you should try to share like 40% mess, 60% message. Keep the mess kind of to a minimum. And originally I was going to barely share any of my backstory this morning because I was supposed to be sharing this hour with my male counterpart, who I don't believe is here. So I'll start at the beginning and I'll weave gratitude in there somehow. We'll figure it out as God gives me the words this morning. I was originally from Erie. Leanna was my very first home area. I came to the program of Narcotics Anonymous as the property of the juvenile correction system in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and that was my first higher power. When they talk about higher power, God is everywhere in the rooms. And that was something that I struggled with at first. I grew up the product of a woman who's an active addict. My mom has been in active addiction my whole entire life. Never been clean as long as I have been alive to my knowledge. And ironically, my dad is a retired state cop. He worked for the PA Drug Task Force for about 15 years. And there were points in my life where Wednesday nights and every other weekend, I was living in a house with a drug dog. So I had to become very clever as a kid. My parents split up when I was about 3. And long story short, that led me to all kinds of, massive abandonment issues. So, I had this major resentment towards God because, I had like this struggle with trust in my earthly father, right? So like my perspective on dad was, if I can't trust an earthly father, how in the hell do I trust a heavenly father that I can't see or touch? My own dad is absent enough, let alone, this nebulous guy in the sky that I can't see. I talk to him and he doesn't answer me. And I think, my mom really kind of used that to her advantage. I remember her telling me things like, he doesn't want to see you. He doesn't want to come get you. He doesn't want you in his life. And that stuff really cut me deep. And I carried that with me for a lot of years, and like there was always that sense of never being good enough, never being good enough. It led me, I think, down the road, and I don't like to shift blame now, and that's something that I've had to learn over time. But when I was in my very early teen years, like 11, 12, into 13, I developed a severe eating disorder. And, I think I felt that was because I associated thin with worthy. I searched for worthiness for a long time in my teen years. And as far as my addiction goes, I always say, long story short, I smoked my first cigarette at 9 years old. I woke up at 15 in handcuffs in Tuscarora County, Ohio. And that was my first introduction to the juvenile correction system. And at 21 years old, I woke up with a needle in my arm next to a man that I thought was the one, because I loved him, right? I loved him. He was the one. You know, and I did a lot of questionable things, trying to find love in my life. It was not a good situation for me. And, you know, like thinking about how like our parents are our first model for, you know, healthy relationships. I didn't really have that. My dad is on wife number 5 currently. My mom is on husband number 3 currently. You know, so over the course of my life, I'm 27 today. Not today. Today is not my birthday, but I'm 27 standing in front of you by the grace of God alone. You know, no fault of my own. You know, I've seen 8 divorces. 8 divorces. But I can be grateful for that today. You know, coming back to speaking on gratitude. When I rolled in yesterday, I came in early, not a part of the committee, but I was here at about noon yesterday because I have this character defect that says if I'm not early, I'm late. So I'm chronically early for everything. And I think that that's like an overcompensation for behaviors in my active addiction because, if I had to be there at a certain time, you should probably tell me 2 hours earlier. I wasn't showing up anywhere near on time. So now I'm chronically early. So I roll in yesterday at like 11:30, 12 o'clock. Registration doesn't open till 5. So I'm helping out, doing my thing. And, you know, Sandy says, well, we need an 8 a.m. speaker tomorrow on gratitude. And I thought, oh, gratitude, that's easy, right? I can stand up and talk about all the things that I'm grateful for, all of those recovery cliches. And as I'm praying and meditating all night last night, because I work myself up for this stuff, you know, I work myself up to speak. I'm nervous. Because again, I come back to, am I worthy? Am I worthy of the people sitting on the benches in front of me? You know, am I worthy of the big brains? Am I worthy of the dinosaurs? You know, and then the thought occurred to me that in Narcotics Anonymous, I get to be worthy just because I'm me. You know, this was the first place that I really found worthiness. I really found that acceptance. I really didn't feel like I had to be anybody but myself. So, the message on my heart was just get up and say what you have to say. You know, I'm my hardest critic for that stuff. So I was reflecting on some of the things that I'm grateful for. And, you know, like I was talking to some of the people that I'm staying with this weekend. And, you know, I thought about, you know, I'm grateful for God. I'm grateful for sponsorship. I'm grateful for the air in my lungs. I'm grateful for breakfast burritos and coffee and cigarettes. But I think that gratitude is a little bit more of a complex topic for me personally. I think that gratitude has to be an action for me in my recovery because there's something that you guys should know about me. I'm an ego maniac. I have an ego 10 miles wide. And that ego tells me that I should always be comfortable, that I should always get what I want when I want it. That things should always go my way, and then when they don't, I'm pissed off about it. And that was a big part of my problem for a really long time, too. I was very resistant to life on life's terms. I was very resistant to the plan that God had for me because in my mind, in my active addiction, and even sometimes still, right, because I'm recovering, right, we don't get recovered. There's no past tense of recovery. I've learned that. You know, when things don't go my way, I'm pissed off about it. So I get very resistant to taking suggestions. I get very resistant when people give me feedback that I don't want to hear. So gratitude for me has to be an action. It has to be the action of putting my ego on the back burner. Because when my ego is out front, I get very unspiritual very, very quickly. You know, I start to try to control things that are definitely outside of my control. I start to fight the world around me. I start to create chaos with the people that I have relationships with. I start to act out at work. You know, I act out in the rooms. There's another meeting I'm not allowed to go to now. That has happened. We're laughing, but that has happened. And I like pain. You know, I think I can accept that today. I have liked the pain because for a long time it was very familiar to me. In my early teen years, I suffered a lot of very traumatic sexual abuse. And that was something that I really had to come to terms with, because when I started talking about it, I made the mistake of trying to approach my mom first, because back then I didn't really have an understanding of addiction. And my abuser was her friend. And for a long time I blamed her for that, because she knew. She knew kind of what this guy was about, or at least I felt like she did, and I was very resentful of her for that. You know, like, how did you let this happen? And again, I came back to railing against God. I came back to, where were you in these moments? You know, why on earth would a God who is merciful and loving and understanding let something like that happen to a 13-year-old kid? You know, I was very angry. And that's a resentment that like they say, like, let sleeping dogs lie, you know, like, that one didn't lie down for a long, long time, because later on down the road, I was about 20 years old, not clean yet. I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and they told me that it was likely that my diagnosis had come from contraction of HPV. And, you know, like, acting out sexually wasn't really a part of my story. I was pretty young when my active use began. You know, stealing medication from my mom because she was real into doctor shopping. So I didn't really have to do a lot of super questionable things to get high when I was younger. So I guess we kind of speculated that was the direct result of my abuse. So I'm going through these cancer treatments and these medications and these endless doctor's appointments, just so resentful of the man who abused me, you know, blaming him and wanting an answer. And, you know, like, all of this misdirected anger in my heart made me very, very, very bitter. And it was at that point that, you know, my addiction really started spiraling out of control. It was within that year that I fell in love with a needle, as we kind of do. You know, and when I was at the end of my road, you know, I realized that, you know, it takes a lot of energy to carry around that baggage. You know, it's kind of like, you know, if I hold up a cup of coffee, right, in my hand, and, you know, at first it might not seem that heavy, but if I hold it up here for an hour, you know, my arm's going to get tired. And if I hold it up for a half a day, my arm's going to get really tired. And if I hold it up for the whole day, I'm going to be exhausted. You know, and that's just carrying a cup of coffee for a day. You know, if I'm carrying all of this anger and resentment with me for the rest of my life, how exhausted am I? So gratitude has to be an action for me. Gratitude has to be me countering all of that resentment and all of that anger and all of that blame shifting that I was doing in my life, and channeling it into something a little bit more productive, a little bit more healthy. Today I can be grateful for those things that I have been through. And, you know, when I first came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, I hated all you happy people. I hated you because I wasn't happy and I was jealous. And now I realize that that's because I wasn't happy with myself. I wasn't happy with my situation. I wasn't happy with God. I wasn't happy with my parents. I wasn't happy with, you know, all the boys who wouldn't love me. I had to learn that, you know, and that's one of the gifts of Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that I can be grateful for through this program. But one of those, I think, you know, when I was meditating on speaking about gratitude into this early morning, I had to laugh because I don't know if you guys were up at, like, roughly 5 this morning, but George came out of his cabin, and I was dead asleep, and he's walking around the circle up here, motherfucking somebody, I don't know who it was, but he's walking around the circle, MFing this, MFing that. And you know, there's a dude in a black t-shirt chasing him around saying, George, you can't do that. You can't be out here doing that, man. You got to come back. You got to come back. And, you know, 6 years ago, that would have pissed me off. I would have been mad at George. You know, I would have been mad at George for being mad and waking me up. And who the hell do you think you are? You know, and today I got to laugh at that. You know, I'll have to thank George later. Too bad he's not here. you know, today I can be grateful that I got to wake up. You know, last night I put my head down on the pillow and it was another day clean, man. Like, that's a gift. There's people here who probably can't say that. You know, and I have to remember that, because when I'm doing well, I tend to get very complacent. I tend to put things on the back burner. I tend to say, oh, you know, I don't need a meeting tonight. I can skip step work tonight. I'm notorious for that. I actually have to ask my sponsor for a deadline because I will put off step work. You know, she asks me to answer one question a day, and I can't even do that much because I'm so complacent. That's pathetic. And I tend to get into this rut where I feel like yesterday's shower will keep me clean today. And that's not true. But when I think about gratitude, I also think about opportunity. Because recovery isn't just a gift, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity that a lot of my predecessors were not able to receive. It's funny because I work in treatment. Some people cringe when they hear that. I work in treatment. And some people, you know, come into treatment, and there's this really jackass question that we ask people when they come into treatment. We say, well, what's your source of motivation? What's your source of motivation? Why are you here? Internal or external? We give them the option, like there is one. You know, and we say that, like, external motivators are things like the Commonwealth, right? Like it was for me. We say it's CYS, probation, parole, family, kids, right? And I think that all of that stuff is bullshit, because at the end of the day, you know, we get the choice. I don't know if you guys, you know, found recovery through treatment or if treatment is a part of your story. It was a part of mine. I'm an alumni from a couple of different facilities. You know, I think the external versus internal motivation is a big line of bullshit, because, you know, I had the choice. You know, yeah, I was pushed by the Commonwealth into treatment and into the rooms, but ultimately I had the decision to make. You know, do I want to make the decision to spend the rest of my juvenile years in a detention center, or do I want to go to treatment? I made that choice for myself. I made that choice. You know, and I had that internal motivation, I guess you could say, you know, because there is still that option there. And that's an opportunity. You know, and those are opportunities that I can be grateful for today, because, you know, like some days I roll out of bed and it's good morning, Lord. And some days I roll out of bed and I say, good Lord, it's morning. There are people outside this circle, sick and suffering, who don't get to wake up this morning. Those people had plans for today. My opportunity, my gratitude comes from being able to fill the plans that I had for today. But I remember that the plans that I had for today are not necessarily my plans. One of my favorite Bible verses is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Our literature isn't the only literature that I'm grateful for. You know, I'm grateful for scriptures like that. You know, I think that gratitude can come from the promise of tomorrow. And on the days that I'm groaning because I don't want to get out of bed, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity. It's not, oh my God, I have to go to work. It's, holy shit, I get to go to work. You know, and that's not always easy to remember. I get very ungrateful very quickly. You know, I forget how close to the line I can be. I forget how, you know, when I'm working in treatment, you know, I try to remember that I'm just one bad decision away from being in the opposite chair. And I think that's the case for any of us on any given day. You know, we're just one bad decision away from being, I guess, in another direction. I'm also grateful for the relationships that I have found in Narcotics Anonymous, because prior to coming into these rooms, my relationships were hollow. I have a sponsor who you guys will hear from later this afternoon. The woman is a force of nature. And she loves the shit out of me just because I'm me. It's crazy because my clean date is her birthday. And I met her by accident. You know, we don't live in the same county. We don't really work together. There's no reason why I should have met her, but God brought us together. And she loves me just for me. You know, when I was in active addiction, my relationships hinged on what can I get from you? What can I take away from you? What are you going to do for me? You know, and I was always walking on eggshells, afraid that I was going to do something wrong, that those relationships were going to fall through and my connections were going to be all fucked up. I don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, and I can be grateful for those relationships. I can be grateful for the people who love me just because I'm me. You know, like, I have a husband. We've been married 3 years next month. I have a husband who never knew me in active addiction, and that's something else that I think I can be grateful for. I was about 30 days clean when I met him, but he has never known me in active addiction. He's an earth person. You know, and I don't have words for that relationship. I really don't. You know, he's a gift. And I don't have to negotiate the terms of that relationship with him. I don't have to pretend to be something that I'm not. I don't have to be afraid that he's going to walk out if I don't do something for him, or if I don't, you know, if I don't have money, or if I'm not willing to run for him. You know, he's just him, and I'm just me today. And that's something that, you know, I can be grateful for. You know, friendships are meaningful in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, there's places where, like, I can't sit down and be like, you know, I really wanted to, like, steal some shit today. You know, like, I went into a store and I wanted to grab something off the shelf and take it with me without paying for it. You know, like, I sit down with you guys and you're like, yeah, me too, man. Right? Like, that's a part of our condition. You sit down in a room full of earth people and they look at you sideways like you're a criminal. You know, like, there's people here that know where I've come from. They felt what I felt. The emotions are the same. You know, the stories might be a little bit different. And you know, I think that the diversity of Narcotics Anonymous is what makes us wonderful and colorful and beautiful and all of that great stuff. But, you know, the emotion, when we talk about, like, the ties that bind us together, you know, I'm grateful for those ties. I'm also really grateful for the traditions. I guess I consider myself to be a little bit of a traditionalist. I like to study the traditions. I like to read them in meetings. Because the traditions, you know, they truly are the ties that bind us together, I feel. You know, the unity tradition, the anonymity tradition. But I really like Tradition 3, and Tradition 3 says the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. I'm grateful for this tradition because when I'm feeling shitty about myself, I want to put that on you. I want to put that on you. And I want to look at you and say, look at what you're fucking up right now. Look how bad you are, right? And I forget that when I'm pointing the finger at you, I've got three pointing right back at myself. The third tradition frees me from being the judge of the world. Because when I'm doing that stuff, it's like me telling God that I don't trust God to do his job. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I'm judging you so hard because I don't trust that God's going to take care of that. Mm-hmm. Right? Instead of praying for you and those character defects in you that are frustrating me, and oftentimes those character defects in you that are frustrating me are really my own. Right? They're my own. And I dislike them so much about myself that I see them in everyone else around me. Tradition 3 says the only requirement for membership is the desire to stop using. That doesn't say that we have to be perfect. That doesn't say that we necessarily even have to be clean today. We just have to have the desire. Right? That's not even the commitment yet. It's just the desire. Right? I can be grateful for that desire in my life today. You know, There's days that the fire just isn't there. The fire just isn't burning. You know, when I say that I'm grateful for those relationships, the days that I don't stay clean for myself, I stay clean for my women. You know? I have a wee today. I have a tiny little home group today. I think there's maybe four of us, five of us. I don't know. We're really small. But I like it that way. Because it forces me to tear down those walls that I put up. You know? And I do that, you know, I put up those walls so that you don't look too close. You know, like I said earlier about how, you know, I love the pain. I'll look tough. I'll fight. I'll yell. I'll swear. I'll act out. You know, I have long sleeves on because it's freezing this morning, but, you know, I'm tattooed shoulder to wrist. You know, don't look too close. In my relationships in Narcotics Anonymous, I don't have to act like that. I can let people in. I can trust people because I am you and you are me and we are one and the same. And when I becomes we, my ego melts into the background. And I'm not so important. And all of that pressure goes away. And I'm grateful for that today because that pressure is exhausting. That pressure is what keeps me coming back for the next one. That pressure is what runs me ragged. When I was 16, I was hospitalized at 88 pounds because of an eating disorder that almost took my life. I have worthiness in my life today. I don't have to live like that anymore. You know, I can eat that cheeseburger and not wonder who's going to hate me for it. That's because of you guys. That's because of the rooms. You know? So gratitude is an action for me. Gratitude is giving back. Gratitude is this terrible, terrible rule. My sponsor's a mean lady. She's not really that bad, but she has this rule where when I'm asked to do something in Narcotics Anonymous, I'm not allowed to say no. So when Sandy asked me yesterday to speak, I hesitated for a second. And then I heard my sponsor's voice in the back of my head going, "Don't you dare." gratitude is getting up early when I didn't want to. Gratitude is wrapped in a blanket, having a cup of coffee so that I can show up for you guys. Because in my active addiction, when life demands that I stand and deliver, I show up loaded. Mm. Right? Locked and loaded. Mm-hmm. And I fuck everything up. Right? Today, gratitude is I'm awake, I'm dressed, right? I have my shit together today. I'm not standing in front of you in my pajamas, right, as much as I wanted to. Gratitude for me is the thank you when my friend brings me coffee, because that's a gift today. I'm also grateful. You know, I've been going through some shit lately. I've been frustrated. I've been very ungrateful. Looking for some change in my life because, you know, when I get complacent, like I mentioned earlier, I start creating chaos in my life. I start creating change. And I've been frustrated with myself lately. You know, step six is a doozy. I got a new tattoo. It says easy does it. That's kind of what I do now when I'm going through shit in my life is like I get tattooed because there was a time in my life when, I hurt myself instead. You know, like my old scars are tattoos now. They're covered up. You know, I don't have to live like that anymore. I don't have to self-destruct. I don't have to hurt myself. I don't have to defer my emotional pain to physical pain just to remind myself that I'm alive anymore. Easy does it mean something to me. You know, like we read it, I think, and we kind of skim over it. You know, some meetings we all say it together. You know, depending on what area you're in or what meeting you're in, we all say it together sometimes. I'm grateful for the easy does it of this program. Because the easy does it of this program reminds me to be kind to myself when I haven't acted exactly the way that I wanted to. The easy does it reminds me that this is progress, not perfection, and I'm not going to be perfect today, and I'm not going to, you know, always do the next right thing. But when I remember the easy does it, it becomes a little simpler for me to just be human. My pursuit of perfection nearly killed me. I don't have to be perfect today, man. You know, and I can be grateful for that. There's so many things that I can be grateful for today. I'm grateful for the opportunity to practice humility today as much as possible. You know, and I say practice. I don't say perfect. You know, I'm grateful for this place. I'm grateful for retreats. I'm grateful for the people that we're surrounded with. There's just so much gratitude in my life today, you guys. It's not even funny, you know. The last couple years have been some real shit for me. Like, real shit for me. My husband and I have been trying to start a family. We lost 3 pregnancies within the space of a year. At one point, it was bad enough that I very nearly bled to death. Thank God I have a husband who actually told medical staff, I'm unconscious. He told staff that I'm allergic to opiates. He's adorable. You know, I had the opportunity to make it through those situations clean. And I did. You know, I woke up with this big red bracelet on my arm that said no opiates. And I had to laugh a little bit. You know, and it hasn't always been easy to trust God's plan. You know, loss and grief are never easy topics for people in recovery to deal with, because I don't like acknowledging that sometimes life is temporary. You know, I'm temporary. Happiness is temporary. Sometimes I'm pissed off because I'm happy and it's not on my terms and I know it's not going to last. I can be grateful for that chance today. I can be grateful that, you know, like, no matter what life throws at me, I have a group of people to go through it with me. I don't have to do it alone anymore. And that's a challenge to my ego, because my ego tells me, you know, like, you can do this all by yourself. You are in control. You don't need anybody else. Don't ask for help. That's ridiculous. But that's also my disease in my ear, you know. That easy does it reminds me that it's okay for me to be vulnerable, and it's okay for me to ask for help. It's okay for me to stand in an amphitheater of people at 8 o'clock in the morning and bare my bones. You know, gratitude is an action. Gratitude is me giving back to the newcomer. Gratitude is me taking another woman by the hand and saying, hey, you know, I've been in this hole before. You know. Gratitude is saying yes. You know, there's this little voice inside my head that when these opportunities come up, it always says, send me. You know, send me is the voice that I always hear. You know, for my work, I do a lot of advocacy. You know, I go to Harrisburg, I go to D.C., you know, I get on tour buses, I march, you know, like, I'm constantly on the move for people in recovery. And, you know, that's an opportunity that I can be grateful for today. But that voice that says, send me, isn't mine. That's God's voice in my heart. It's not my voice in my head. You know, my life is under the control of a God of my understanding today. And that, I think, is probably the most significant change that has happened in my life since I found recovery. And I can be grateful for that relationship today, because today I have a little bit of trust in God. Today I have a relationship with my dad, you know, all the years of outsmarting his drug dog. you know, he's still a little bit in denial, you know, like, not my little girl, not mine, right? When he asks me to do stuff and I tell him, no, I've got Narcotics Anonymous, he says, no, you don't. But we're getting there, you know, and I can be grateful for that relationship today, because for a long time it wasn't there. And there's distance with my mom now. You know, I learned through this program how to detach with love. You know, there's people in our lives that, you know, as much as we love them, and as difficult as it might be, you know, they will always continue coming back to hurt us. And I think that for some of those people, we just need to draw that line. You know, and that's something that I had to do, but I had the support to do that in NA. You know, I'm able to say, you know, like, thanks for giving me life, but no thanks. You know, I pray for her all the time that she'll get clean someday, that I won't get that phone call, but I think somewhere in my heart, I'm prepared for it. And I do think that when that day comes, you know, I'll still be able to be grateful for Narcotics Anonymous, because I know that we'll do this together. And I think that that's how most of the battles that are ahead of me are going to be. You know, I don't have to be alone anymore. I don't have to fight so hard anymore. I just have to put in a little bit of simple footwork. You know, they say it's a simple program. It's for complicated people, but it's a simple program. And I'm grateful for that program today. Gratitude is what helps me stay on the ground. Gratitude is what helps me to be thankful. Gratitude is what brings me back up when I'm down, you know, when I'm resistant to the day. If I start my day with a gratitude list, and I know that's super cliche, but if I start my day with a gratitude list, I tend to be able to check my attitude at the door before I even start. It helps me remember that I'm not here through any fault of my own. There's nothing that I have done to deserve being able to stand in front of you guys today. You know, this has all been God at work, and as long as I remember that, you know, I have faith in my ability to put my head down again tonight clean. Thanks for letting me speak today, guys.
Thank you.